Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saraceno, editor of PC. On today's episode, I present to you a special treat. Don Tracy, PC's associate editor, sits down with Claire Riches, vice president of clinical solutions at Sightline, a provider of real-time R&D intelligence to the life sciences industry. Among various topics on the agenda, they discuss inefficiencies in the current drug approval process that may present obstacles to faster approvals, advances in data collection that can help these efforts, the concept of modernizing these approvals, and much more. Let's take a listen.
You've highlighted the need to reform the drug approval process under the MAHA initiative. What specific inefficiencies in the current system are the biggest obstacles to faster approvals?
In terms of reform for the drug approval process, the approval process is lengthy at the best of times. It could take several years. There's obviously, for robustness, got to be, a big, extensive data review. But, there's lots of things layered in which the MAHA initiative hopefully should address those insufficiencies around, the manual review. There's a lot of kind of red tape around the FDA, which slows down some of the decision making. And I think that we're busier now than ever in the pharma industry in terms of new assets being developed. It's boom time in terms of new assets. But also we're developing assets now in areas of unmet need where there is no kind of pre-existing benchmark. And so I think that this is where a lot of kind of process change, use of technology, but also acceptance of, utilizing real world data and ultimately the real world evidence that comes from that real world data should help reduce those inefficiencies and hopefully kind of streamline the approval process.
Excellent. And so following up on that, you mentioned real world data. So with the growing role of it in clinical trials, how do you see the FDA integrating these data sources to streamline approval while maintaining rigorous safety standards?
Yeah. I mean, the good news is the FDA's got, history of using real world data, particularly in that kind of post-approval space where there's kind of follow-up long-term monitoring. And they have committed to ensuring that, the full potential of real world data is utilized and ultimately the real world evidence that generates to really help, speed up the drug development approval process. I think it's more important now than ever that they do that, because the access that we have to real world data is at an all-time high. It's getting bigger outside the US as well as within the US. But obviously what they're super focused on is the quality, the source, the robustness of that data, because it can be used in multiple ways. I mean, there is a whole array of areas that real world data and real world evidence can be used to streamline that drug approval process. And the FDA are committed to embracing that. They've got frameworks since kind of 2018 that have been in place. But obviously it's key for sponsors to liaise with the FDA all the way through that process to make sure that any data that they use and how they use that data has been given the FDA's blessing. And really what the FDA will be looking at is source of data, robustness, quality, validity of that data, because not all real world data sources are created equal. And a lot of what we're doing with it to get that real world evidence, the analysis, the analytics, possibly the AI algorithms that we're using, again, they're things that have to be robust and pressure tested and communicated to the FDA so that it's not a surprise to the FDA when packages are submitted containing real world data with real world evidence in them. And the way that we've got that evidence is very clearly articulated and explained.
Thank you for that well thought out answer. So, given past concerns around using real world data for regulatory decisions, mm-hmm. What advancements in data collection and validation now make it a viable tool for drug approvals?
Yeah. So I think now we are, real world data has always been in kind of smaller pockets in either disease areas, in geographies, institutions, and we're now able to look at bigger data sets, and with bigger data sets comes more robustness in terms of us being able to draw out conclusions and evidence from that data. So, larger data sets that have more longevity, more robustness to them, are giving people a lot more comfort as opposed to kind of one-off snapshots of data. There's definitely in the last 5 or 6 years, if we look back to when the FDA started saying that they would consider RWD, RWE in the approval process, we've made huge leaps and bounds in terms of the data that's available to us and how we can access that data. So, there's standalone, lab data, claims data, that kind of thing. But also, we're now able to mine things like electronic health records. So we're able to take more subjective, more, sorry, more, I suppose, yeah, more subjective data and use that to really enhance things like patient journeys, patient outcomes, patient standard of care, that kind of thing. So I think it's just been a real boom time in the last few years about not only the volume of data that we can access, but the validity of that data, the quality of that data, and the sources that we can pull that data from now. It's just given us a much more complete picture. And in terms of drug development, I mean, there is absolutely no point developing a drug if the market doesn't exist. And so what real-world data is giving us is real insights into where these patients are, who these patients are, how they're being treated, how they're responding, where the gaps are. So we can really now not waste a lot of people's time developing drugs that aren't going to be particularly useful in the market. We can really identify gaps that, means that everything that's being developed has a purpose, an unmet need. And that's what the FDA is looking for, drugs with clear coverage for unmet need, as opposed to drugs that are maybe me toos or maybe only slightly better than what's on the market. So it's helping us in lots of ways throughout the clinical trial process. And the FDA is welcoming use of RWD, but in conjunction and in collaboration and in communication with them at all times.
Thank you so much again. So next up, you briefly mentioned patients in your last answer. What role should payers and insurers play in the shift towards a more data-driven, flexible approach framework? And how would this impact patients' access to innovative treatments?
Well, I think that the sooner we can get drugs through the approval process, the quicker we can give patients access. And historically, it takes around about 10 years, give or take, to develop a drug. And that's because everything was involving trials to randomize patients. And now that process, ultimately, if we can shorten that process, we will have drugs on the market quicker with as robust safety and efficacy profiles in areas of unmet need. So drug prices will come down. At the end of the day, pharma, whether it's biotech or pharma, whoever's developing that drug, their cost is directly related to how long it's taken them to develop, how many trials and how many patients and how many countries they need to involve. And so if we can streamline that, ultimately, a pharma company gets its drug on the market quicker at a lower price. So insurers, payers are going to be, much more amenable to support and funding. Patients get access to medicines faster and medicines that really meet an unmet need, as opposed to you're on something, it doesn't work, let's try something else. It's quite similar, it may or may not work. So lots of things are happening, and a lot of that is data, RWD, technology, and AI, which takes out pharma company burden, clinical trial site burden, patient burden, and ultimately FDA burden to approve.
Excellent. So lastly, this one's more on the political side. So with shifting political priorities under Robert F. Kennedy, you see bipartisan support for reforms that modernize drug approvals while ensuring patient safety?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see an overall modernization of the FDA, and I think that is much needed. I think there are some level of concerns with some of the initiatives the FDA were developing over the years that may not continue. So a really good example there is the FDA were fully committed to diversity action plans for clinical trials, and that's been put on pause at the moment. The idea there was when drugs hit the market, they need to have been tested in a real world population. So again, you know, what does the epidemiology data tell us? What's the kind of race, ethnicity, male, female split of that patient population? And the trial population needs to be representative of that. So I think that, you know, some of the changes will be great to support that efficiency, but there will be other things as well that I fear will be lost when it comes to, you know, robust drug development. But yeah, I think we're still unsure what that landscape will look like. We're still in very early days, but I think efficiency is at the core of some of the reform. And if that ultimately means that we can have as robust a review of new assets coming into the market, that will be great, because ultimately what the goal of all of this is to lower drug prices. And at the end of the day, pharma, biotech are businesses. For every drug that hits the market, only a few of them are going to be big blockbusters. But for every drug that hits the market and does reasonably well, there's probably 20 other drugs that particular company has taken through a certain length of the R&D process and it has failed. So there's a lot of cost to be recouped to enable that drug development to continue. But I think what everyone's looking for is appropriate use of resources to make sure that efficiency still drives quality, safety, strong efficacy signals, drug development in areas of unmet need, lower drug prices.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. Be sure to stay in the loop of all our latest updates by visiting pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or our Audioboom page. Take care, everyone.